When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody. Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody.
Okay, I just had such a nice fun chat with my friend and yours. We wrote together on Big Mouth. She's currently filming a movie with Ed Helms. And I can't tell you anything more or less, but is she the lead? Yes. I was putting Wolfie to sleep right before we recorded in my bedroom. And when I came back in the room, my mom's visiting, taking care of Wolfie. And my mom and Patty were laying on the bed like two just little girls at a sleepover. And it warmed my heart to a toasty delight. So I'm going to post that picture on my Insta and enjoy my chat with Patty Harrison.
My sister lives in a pretty small town in Ohio. My sister, my oldest sister, she's an angel. She's super sweet. She's very, very conservative in dress, not pious. Politically. She's pious. She's super
Every
Catholic.
Time someone says that word, I picture a pie and I don't actually know the definition.
I think it's just like devout.
Yeah, you're like a sweet person holding a pie.
Yeah, and she's very super wholesome, so nice, like really doesn't like cussing. Won't talk about sex. Like
she'll get along with my mom. My mom is on this podcast every other episode, every Thursday. And one week she thought that she would convince me not to say fuck on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But she was disappointed. Oh my God. Oh my God. We're in my bed. We're with my dog. Patty's knocked over the decorative topper to the
golden
Kleenex.
It's a golden tissue top.
I live with Shauna McCann and our life is gold plated.
It's cool.
Okay, so she's in this town.
So she lives in a small town. She's just like the most angelic and
we landed on the word, girl. It's pious.
And pious. And then there's this for years people have always been like, hey, I saw you at the grocery store. I saw you at the store and I waved and you didn't wave back. And she was like, I wasn't there. That wasn't me. And they're like, yeah, I saw you at this grocery store. And she's like, I wasn't there. So finally, me and my sisters.
You were giving lap dances to people in the produce section.
Yeah, you were sucking someone. You were sucking someone at Kroger.
You were like blowing bananas and winking.
you were deep throating a banana at Kroger, at the Kroger checkout.
You poured yogurt into your pants and then said something about a pussy smoothie.
That's disgusting.
Look.
Shut your ears if you don't have one. That's baby
the
talk.
Sound effect.
What the hell are
I didn't have a pussy smoothie sound effect.
Sabrina, what was that? Play it again.
So come on.
Shut your ears if you don't have one. It's baby talk.
That one, I'm not so proud of. It's not very inclusive.
Show your ears if you don't have one. But there's like a twang, baby talk.
Look, I don't decide on the music. I send it to my producer and he gets funky with it.
No, I'm saying your voice had a twang when you recorded it. You did decide on that.
Honey, you've known me for months, if not a year. My voice does whatever the fuck it wants.
Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's get back to this pious story of a lady in a grocery store that's horny version of your sister.
Yeah, so we found her, my other sister. So I have four older sisters.
Okay, and bragging much?
I have four older sisters and they're all rich and they're all 6 foot tall and they all weigh 30 pounds and they all have triple H tits and like a spotless ass, never been a pimple on their ass. And
oh my God.
Their buttholes are like blindingly pink.
Ooh.
A blindingly shade of hot pink bubblegum.
Pink bums.
Yeah. My sister I'm talking about, who has the doppelganger's name, is Cindy. And my sister, Charlene, texted the group and was like, I just found the Instagram of this woman who's like in the same city that we live in, and she has an Instagram. She looks identical to Cindy and she lives like in the same area. So we're like, okay, this is definitely the woman that's like everyone's mistaking for Cindy. And she's like super, like all her pictures are like thirst traps, super like slutty, her like raising her dress and her boobs out. And it's just so funny that this woman who like, she looks identical to my sister. It's really like insane how much she looks like my sister. It's not just like she kind of looks like her, like they have this,
I've seen the
face,
evidence
hair,
they look very very
body. Yeah, I showed you the picture. And so it's just this alternative version of my like wholesome sister like trying to get like
that is really horrifying
pick.
I'm just trying to picture like, even like I'm a very bodacious person, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm a open, sultry woman, but like if there was someone that was being thirst trap version of me and like super slutty, that would be a little bit embarrassing, I guess.
Well, I've always,
not that I'm embarrassed of sluts.
I know. I think so. It's just, it's really especially funny to me because I've always viewed my sister kind of looks like Isabella Rossellini. Like if Isabella Rossellini were like a nun.
I can't picture
that's my
who
sister.
That person is.
And then if that nun just was like pouring water on a white
on
t-shirt to make
white nun t-shirt.
It makes my sister so uncomfortable in a way that's very funny to me, because anytime this woman posts sluttier pictures, we send it into the group thread and we said, horny Cindy's at it again. And then it makes Cindy so mad because she's like, stop saying horny. I hate the word horny.
Patty, if you don't mind me being an expert interviewer, what makes you uncomfortable?
What makes me uncomfortable? So something that I've learned, this is a segue, but something that I've learned in the past couple years or that I've worked on is that I don't think I'm good at consoling people when they're grieving or when they're mourning.
Really?
Like I feel that I think this is something that I was talking to someone about it, and I haven't read this book yet, but they read it because they had a kid. But Vanessa Bayer's How to Care for a Very Sick Bear.
How cute.
That kid's book, and yeah, like how it kind of like the layers of it and kind of talks about like,
because Vanessa was sick when she was a child, yeah, or when she was a teenager and child, probably.
Yeah, I think.
And
I
then she
confirm.
Wrote a kid's book about. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't read the book, so I'm really talking.
Me neither, but I know the story. And I just wanted to like let everybody in the world know that I knew about this.
And I kind of knew about it too. So I want everyone okay. in the world know that we were both kind of knew about this.
Yeah. Ooh, that's a spicy tip. I got to
record. There was the ocean?
Yeah, there was the ocean in that one.
A cresting wave.
Okay, but so someone showed you that book or?
No, that we were talking about it because I was talking about this came up again, but the book I guess, and I might be wrong, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, whoever has read the book so far, but that it touches on like there's value in just being in like holding space with someone, like mm-hmm. you don't have to offer solutions necessarily.
Yes.
You don't, it's not your job. Like if you don't have,
my mom is very solution based, and like I've like that's something that I'm like working on as a partner and as a friend, is not like rushing to be like just do this.
Yeah,
it's better, you know,
because it's like in those moments I think people can misconstrue that as like you not like acknowledging their feelings. It's
yeah.
like more trying to get the bad feelings to go away immediately and not
yes.
letting them fully work through those feelings. So
yeah.
I think I brought that up because that's like only in the past couple of years have I felt like I've.
That's my son is crying. My mom's trying to put him to sleep. He took a long ass nap today. He's napped from like 1 to 4:30. And my mom was texting being like, he's still napping. And I'm like, well, he's just not going to go to sleep.
So it's your mom's fault.
That's
she
what
let
I'm,
him nap too long. So
I'm
now she's got hell to pay.
Look, if you've listened to this podcast, you know everything in my life is my mom's problem.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to randomly hit a sound effect button.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh, wait.
No.
Listen.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
Hollywood Scoop.
Well, actually, just a quick side note. We were on the topic of holding space, so we're going to get back into that holding space topic. But I was talking with international superstar and America's mom, Patricia Heaton.
Ooh, that's the real deep shit.
What the fuck? So, every time you hit that button, one of my teeth falls out.
So just hold on to them. We're going to make a necklace and we're going to auction it off at the end. You know that's the rule of this podcast. If you're not listening to this podcast, I hit buttons, teeth fall out. We make bracelets, we sell them for charity.
Do not auction off a single one of my teeth.
Patricia Heaton and I chatting today. Imagine.
Buongiorno.
Just imagine.
And we were just talking about how like everything is blamed on the mom. It's just like this like never ending plot thickening of when you're a parent and you realize like, oh, like this is such a tough job. And then like forever moms have been expected to do it for no credit. And then on top of that, everyone then spends the rest of their life being like, yeah, I'm like that because my mom couldn't fucking figure it out. So now I have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And I just did it. I mean, like, it's the easiest thing to do. To just be like, yeah, it's because my mom. So that's why. Yeah.
Well, I think, like, dads are... We're culturally conditioned to accept, like, the quiet, brooding, cold father as, like, a understandable sort of like archetype of what a dad can be. So it's like, yeah, if a dad's that way, yeah, that's just the way some dads are, even though it's not ideal. But like moms, they fuck with your psychology. Yeah. They get in your head because that's what women do. It's like we've just fully omitted the enormous vacuum of like emotional care that is a cold parent that is normally associated with like masculinity, which is dad stuff. Like my dad died when I was like six, he died of a heart attack. Wow. He smoked like a billion cigarettes and he was just like very unhealthy. And
do you have like generally memories of him were the archetype that you described? Or
no, he was very affectionate and like, but I think when my dad died, my mom kind of, so my dad, I had an older brother too who mm-hmm. was a teen and he died when he was 17, so died when I was 4, then my dad died when I was 6. My mom kind of like,
how did your brother die?
He died in a car accident. So like my mom was really like going through it and kind of unhinged. So I have 4 older sisters and they really swooped in and they were all like in their teens and like early 20s, like when this happened. So, but they really like swooped in and took over some parenting, a lot of the parenting for like my mom. Cause I think she just like couldn't mentally deal with it.
Was Cindy the main one?
Cindy was the oldest and she was the most maternal. Mm-hmm. Like she truly is like in a lot of ways, the glue to our family. She's mm-hmm. super like hypersensitive, really, really speaks with like, has always from the start, like, when you do this, it makes me feel bad because like she speaks very diplomatically. Mm-hmm. Whenever she finds out 2 people in her family are fighting, she'll like, okay, like, why don't you guys come over and like, I'll make food and you guys can talk. Like, she's very, very.
And I'll strip down and rub butter on my belly button.
And then we were like, yeah, Cindy, remember when we came to your house and you stripped down and you put butter on your stomach and you kind of did body rolls for a while?
She's like, damn it, that was not me. How did she get keys to my house?
But it did resolve the fight.
It did. Because butter on the belly button will.
Yeah,
change the topic in a way you can never return.
Remember when I sucked butter out of your belly button and then
remember when I squeezed butter out of your belly button?
Hollywood scoop.
That's a good one. Good instincts. Was everybody in your family? I get the feeling.
Wait. I feel like this will loop back in.
Yes,
but,
loop.
Okay, so this actually does all loop together because
everything you say on this fucking podcast better loop.
Well, I love Inception. So Inception's kind of like the way
your
that this narrative's the narrative's kind of interweave because layers in, and then Cillian Murphy comes in. He's got those chucky blue eyes, and his dad's dying in a bed, and he's like, I got my little paper windmill, daddy. And then everything's incepted.
Quick shout out to today's sponsor, Inception. Inception. Watch it with promo code goody goody.
You're waiting for a train. I need to know that train will take you, but it doesn't
I've
matter.
I've never seen it. I've just never seen it. Okay, loop it back.
Okay. So when I was saying that I'm uncomfortable. You asked something that makes me uncomfortable.
Yes, uncomfortable with, just that you're learning now that you need to hold space for people when they're feeling an emotion rather than trying to solve it.
So I've always, when someone is like mourning or grieving that I know or like in front of me, mm-hmm. I've always felt like that in those moments I've offered bad or unhelpful advice and I feel like I haven't done a good job supporting these people.
For example?
Well, just being like, I don't know.
Like sad about a breakup. Like, you're like, just get back together.
Well, if some death specifically, but like, yeah, if someone's like finds out they're sick or like, I think I remember my sister, one of my sisters was diagnosed with breast cancer. Yeah, she got that stingy halitosis breath. Breath so bad, they call it breath cancer. Yeah, I'm saving that for my 2 hour.
Silence, Earthling!
There's a cricket in that soundbite. Cheer. This is like one of those like keychain that you'd buy at Spencer's. Those keychains that have like a bunch of buttons on it.
Honestly,
have, like,
if you could just say one reference that I could understand as a Canadian woman.
You don't know Spencer's?
No,
We're going to go to Spencer's. I'm going to take you to a mall. Is it like a dollar store? No, it's like a... I can't even describe Spencer's to you. It's
my guess is that it's...
Spencer's Gifts.
A gift shop,
but it's like nasty stuff.
Oh, you get
it's
like you buy like farts
and
in
shirts
a bucket.
That say it's like shirts that say like who came first, the chicken or the egg, and it's like a cartoon of a chicken fucking an anthropomorphic egg. They're like both coming at the same time,
and you get like a jar of belly button butter.
No, that's too far.
Okay, well, take me back.
Okay.
You were talking about breasts.
Okay. So,
your sister we took a really insensitive turn from breast cancer.
Yeah, no, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And I was visiting her she was living in Aliso Viejo in California at the time. And I was visiting her from Ohio while I was off out of school for summer. And I remember I was on her Wii Fit doing a hula hoop game, mm-hmm. and I had been doing it for like 10 minutes straight. And she like walked in, was on the phone, and then she like sat down and she looks at me and she's like, well, I have cancer, and like starts crying. And I was like, okay, like my inner monologue was like, turn off Wii Fit. And I was like, why wouldn't I just do it? I like had a moment where there was like a full like 10 seconds before I actually turned it off. I was like, should I turn this off? Because it's like also playing music. It's like, great job. It's like this robot voice.
Everything then, perfect now.
Yeah. And then I felt like I was just like, I'm really sorry. Like I did, like
but
I was so
good.
Stressed out. But it was like, and then I think I like was just like hovering over her like, I hugged her and stuff, but that was a moment that I remember being like, I'm not being a good sibling right now because I feel like I'm not.
Like it's happening to you too.
Well, right. So this is the thing that
it's mostly about you. I'd say.
Because her getting breast cancer was annoying to me.
You couldn't keep playing Wii Fit.
I had to turn off and I didn't get to save it, so it was tracking my like progress and I let her know. In that moment I was like,
well, no, what were you gonna say?
I feel in the past couple years like being okay, like learning to be okay with like it means a lot to someone to just be there and kind of like be in a space with them, be present with them while they're like dealing with their feelings and not feel like I have to be like, well, you know, like death, because here, why it all loops back in with like my family mm-hmm. is because I think like my brother died when I was 4 in a car accident, and I'm the youngest. Then I have mm-hmm. a sister who's 3 years older than me. And then my brother was, I think, 6. Wait, if I was 4, he was 17. Oh, what is that? Like 13 years? 14 years? I can't. I'm so bad at math.
If you're 4, 13 years would be 17, yeah.
Yeah, so there was an age gap there. So he was like the third youngest. Uh-huh. And then he died. And then my dad died. And my older sisters, like my fully became kind of in charge of watching us while our mom just like was single mom working, coping with these deaths, a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
And
having
they
four
dealt.
Kids and well then first and then one dies and being grieving and then
yeah
you're
and we were like poor. We were poor. We did not have money and it
really?
Wasn't yeah. And
like government checks, helping
was,
with food.
Yeah, I think my mom was on assistance for like a long time. I think and I didn't she didn't tell us that.
So you were like you didn't grow up wanting things. Like
no.
in the sense that like you just knew like you were the kind of poor where you're like I'm not gonna like ask for a Game Boy.
No I totally was. I did ask for those things because my mom helped like hid it from us.
Oh, you didn't know you were poor?
Yeah, because it was shameful. It was like I didn't realize it until I started
Your
going to my
from...
other friend's house. She's from Vietnam.
What part of Vietnam?
It's called
you should go to Vietnam.
Okay,
so beautiful.
I do want to get into
and
that. But
and if you're like scared to travel alone, Patty was just saying that she wants to travel. If you're scared to travel alone, my friend Darlene is in Vietnam. I think right now, you can hang with Darlene and she can
for
set
how
you
long?
Up. She's like living there.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
yeah. My sister went a couple. I think last year,
her and her mom and her twin sister run this charity out of Canada called the Gifts Foundation, and mm-hmm. I got to go to Vietnam and like be the Oprah of the charity and like hand out like we seriously like lines like a huge line of people waiting to get like pajamas, rice, and some money, and like we're so grateful.
Wow.
And it was like one of these moments in my life that I will never forget, these like where I was like, oh, like people are gonna be as happy or sad as they're gonna be, you know. Like I remember this woman who's like her well she was a girl and her leg because of Agent Orange was like twisted, like it was like spiraled, and then the mm-hmm. top of her like the bottom of her foot was on top
mm-hmm.
and she was just like beaming, like radiating joy, and she was so grateful for the package. And then there was people that, you know, they're miserable, and it was just like, but generally I'd say like people were kind of probably happier than most people you'd meet in a city.
Yeah,
like
that's I mean so I do that is something I do want to talk about, because that's interesting, because a lot of people have suggested I go to Vietnam, and there are like kind of some nuances to that, or that I do want to go to Vietnam.
Yeah, I mean,
but
people that have traveled to Pakistan, I've never been to
yeah.
Pakistan, and my dad's
but,
from there.
What
are the nuances you were saying people are suggesting?
Oh, well, I do want to touch on Vietnam, but I feel like I haven't, I keep.
You were talking about your mom, and I asked where she was from, and then we got into this.
When my brother and my dad died, my sisters, who were like kind of became my parents for a little bit, they dealt with the deaths with like humor and jokes, like dead dad jokes, like really hard in the paint. Like, mm-hmm. and that made, I think at such a young age for me, that made my sense of humor very dark, very like grim, made me kind of like look at death like in a more like kind of like
matter of fact, sort of like, I was like, oh yeah, like people, and we had so many pets die.
Part of life.
Yeah. And my dad, when my dad died, I didn't even realize, because they said pass away. Like they were like, your brother passed away, your dad passed away. I didn't realize, like, there was a part of me that was like, okay, I think they're dead, but I don't think I fully realized. Like, I didn't remember being 12 when I like kind of processed that my dad died and like crying
that
about
it was like
it.
Permanent.
Yeah, that it like that's I had a moment where I was like in my room and I was like, oh wow, like no, he's like dead. Not that I thought he was like somewhere. I think it just I hadn't explicitly laid it out as a young adult
able to like conceptualize it.
Yeah, like process. I didn't process it until then. So like, I think that my insensitivity around death and like people like grieving has made me feel uncomfortable when other people are, because I want to be helpful, but then I feel like I'm always just like, yeah, I mean, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm really sorry that happened. Like, it's like very, for a while, I think it was that. Like, me in high school trying to, like, when people I went to high school with died.
Well, like,
and
the
stuff.
Go-to that got you through it was humor. So it's like the first thing you're thinking about is like a joke to distract and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of letting someone kind of just being okay with being sitting next to someone who's like crying. So that's something that, like, to this day, I don't think that makes me unique. I don't think anyone's like super comfortable with like someone grieving, but I have had to actively like work on just being like, it's okay to not be able to not have any like answers or solutions for that person. I think it's like they just want to feel like someone is cares and is holding space with them, and
yeah,
like, and that you care, which is not true. I often don't. I'm like, can we wrap this up?
No!
The phone fell asleep. I can't use the soundboard.
If I could just respond seriously to all this.
You are one pathetic loser.
Sabrina. Wait. Can I play at this moment? Can I play part of your song?
What?
I'll kill myself.
Really? You're gonna
No, I'm not gonna play it now, but I'll insert it.
I would kill myself. I would kill myself for you. I would kill myself if you asked me to. If you killed yourself, I would kill myself too. I know things are moving fast. Like I said, we met an hour ago. When you served me a sandwich. But I am in love with you because you are taller than me. And that's all it really takes for me to shoot myself for you. I will kill myself.
I was kind of having an anxiety attack because it was.
That's the only. There's only one clip of it?
Yeah, that exit. Like, that's recorded. And it's like video.
Okay, you were
online
having.
Clip.
What was your anxiety attack?
So I was on this like bender where I had only gotten like three hours of sleep for like almost a full week, just because I have horrible sleeping habits. And I was like,
what's the deal with that anxiety in the night? Like, you just keep on rattling through things you need to.
I've just always had poor sleep habits and insomnia and like nightmares.
But do you think it's from, I was
at that show. Uh-huh. I was really, really tired, and I started to get really anxious about, I started catastrophizing about like an active shooter, because it just seemed like all, it was at, which is a venue that I just is, it to me, that venue, like, if you catastrophize about like a shooting at any venue, this is so dark, but like, that's, I always
you
get nervous there, just because it looks
like.
Where
are the exits, you mean?
Well, yeah, it's just like you're high above everyone, and so many people can be packed into that venue, and there's not really like, like, it just, to me, it's so easy for that me to
the thing.
Yeah, but it was like that, like someone, there was like a guy that was harassing people outside in the standby line, and he was, there's like a guy dressed as a clown that people were like, yeah, there's this like, there's this guy harassing us. We think it's this guy's a clown. He like got into the venue. We don't know where he is or something. Mm-hmm. Like it was just all this stuff that, and it was recorded. So I was already nervous. And then like three comedians in a row had made jokes about active shooters in their sets. And then I remember talking to another person like a couple days before about how we were both like, yeah, if there's going to, I don't want to manifest it. Talking about it. See, that's my anxiety. My anxiety is like talking about it now. I'm like, oh no, I don't want to be the person that's like, yeah, I saw that coming. But like, or put it in the anyone's head. But I just, I maybe just bleep the venue.
Yeah, we'll bleep
the name of the venue. That would make me feel better. Yeah. But, well, I guess the set too. They'll maybe if you bleep the me saying Comedy Central.
Yeah, I'll bleep. Yeah, I love bleeping on this podcast. Great. So we're gonna bleep.
Thank you. And but yeah, I was so sleep deprived and being super anxious and like doing it. And so in my performance, I'm not focusing on like trying to like. I like there's a part in that video where I forget the lyrics, and it's like. You can tell that I forgot the, it's like it's it wasn't my best.
Okay, well, I won't play that part. I'll just play the part that is like banging and cool, and then people will come see you do it live. And also, you should just put it out as like a single because I would like to buy it. It's so funny, and it is actually exactly what you are describing. It's like this unique. It's like everybody feels uncomfortable with death. It's really fucking dark. There is an aspect. The lyrics are, I will kill myself if you ask me to. And it's like actually the darkness of, it's the shadow side of love.
The shadow side of love.
The shadow side of love is like, you know, there is this like, of that love. To me, it's like the obsessive, like the first time you fall in love, the like, I will fucking kill myself if you ask me to.
But it doesn't even get to like love.
No, you don't even.
Yeah. The whole conceit, to break down the archetype of it, the whole conceit is that it's someone who's 2 inches taller than me. It's a guy.
Yes.
He's 2 inches taller than me. So because he's 2 inches taller than me, I will then kill myself. And I met him less than an hour before the song was written.
Yeah. Well,
and so I met him an hour ago.
I get that's the conceit, but I also...
it's not a deeper obsession. Meditation. I think you're thinking like you that it's more thoughtful than it is, and you're trying to ruminate beyond that, and I don't want you to use it as a bouncing off point.
No, I'll decide what the song is, Patty.
Okay.
I'll decide what all your art is. That's what this podcast is about. I compliment the art, and then I tell people what it's really about.
Okay, what's my Diary at the Train Station bit about then?
That's about someone who's desperately trying to write in their diary, but they're in the train station and there's too many sound effects. You know, trains be loud, women be chatting, boys be shopping. Come on, soundboard.
Find your soundboard.
Epic fail. Winning.
I just want to say jokes on you. I don't have a diary at the transition.
Oh, not again.
That was random.
This happened when I had Caroline Ray on. This happened when I had Woody Allen on. This happened every... Paula Poundstone did this bit to me.
Oh, she's canceled. What was... I feel like there was something else that
there's
I was...
There's a lot of loose threads we can grab onto any of them.
That wasn't the... Oh, Vietnam. So I do want to... I just... Because something that is a pet peeve of about myself is that I feel like I start talking about stuff and then I never finish it.
This is what this podcast is.
So Vietnam... I've had this conversation multiple times because I met someone recently who's... He's half Vietnamese. And he asked me if I've ever been to Vietnam. And I was like, no, like my mom moved here after the Vietnam War and she's never been back. And she wants to go back, but then she has all these like complicated familial conflicts that have like made it like a difficult, and also we're just like don't have the money to do that. So, and he, but also, so there's like a cultural thing that I'm like very weary of, which is there, from what I understand, and I may be wrong, but I read about there being a social prejudice against like boat children. So like people who are not necessarily boat children, but I think there's a word for it in Vietnamese.
Boat children means immigrated away.
Well, so I think I used the wrong term. Boat children is a first generation of kids that are like the product of the Vietnam War. So like my dad was an American soldier. Mm-hmm. He went to Vietnam, met my mom. She moved. They got married. She moved back to the United States. Mm-hmm. There's a word in Vietnamese for what I'm talking about, which I think translates to like dirt child. Whoa. And that is a child of an American soldier and a Vietnamese woman, basically. Whoa. So like, and I think that might pertain more to like if a Vietnamese woman got pregnant and the soldier went away.
Mm-hmm.
Like the soldier came, like had sex with a Vietnamese woman, left.
And then they don't children?
Yeah, I mean, they're looked down upon. You're like looked down upon, and you're like, it just, that is like socially. And the guy that I talked to recently,
yeah,
who he was like, you should go to Vietnam. It's like a really beautiful place. And he's half Vietnamese. But I was like, but what about like the dirt children thing? He was like, oh yeah, that's real. But like, you don't have to worry about, like, they won't be able to tell that you're Vietnamese because you're like, you kind of look Latinx or
so.
Or
when were saying that, my like solution brain, like everything's cool, wanted to be like, fuck them. Like, Vietnam's beautiful. Like, just go enjoy it. But really, I haven't been to Pakistan. And part of when I really think about it, I mean, I've traveled a bunch and I just, that never has been the destination. And part of it is because I'm like, I'm gay and now I'm like, I have a family and I know that that's not super chill there. Yeah. And I don't want to put myself in danger. Do you feel like part of your like thing of, I don't want to travel alone, is about being trans and like, just like how much of your anxiety do you feel is like affected by just the danger of being trans in the world?
100%. Wow. 100%. Like, I've never been outside of the United States except for Toronto and Montreal. And those are two trips that I took within the past 2 years. So, like, I've never been off the continent. And I feel very, like, uncultured. And I just never had money to travel while I was in school. And so,
where'd you go?
I went to, it's for school?
Yeah.
I went to Ohio University in Athens, Ohio.
Okay.
But I have like free time and like a little bit of like expendable income right now. So I want to take like a trip, but I'm afraid to go by myself. But I definitely, like, research-wise, it is different, like, 100%, because there's, like, my, like, ex-boyfriend was like, oh, Brazil is beautiful. You have to go to Brazil. And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, right now? No, like, that's, like, South America. It's, like, there's just all these places that, like, catastrophize about, because it's, like, you hear these horror stories about, like, Mickey Blanco being, like, arrested by police because they think it's funny that Mickey Blanco's like, they think Mickey Blanco's like a tranny, like that trannies are.
Is that
like
in Brazil?
I can't remember. It was a couple years ago, but I remember there was like this horror story about Mickey Blanco being like detained by police and they were like doing it to fuck with them and like harassing them and like laughing, but like it's violent. Like there are places that it is unsafe for you to travel, and there's already like there's been interactions I've had in the United States where there are protections, and there have been like there have been measures taken to like make experience with the TSA better and like stuff like that, but you still have these like pretty degrading experiences.
Because I was going to say, like, you very, traveling. Very pass.
Well, it doesn't, like, when...
But then once you're at the TSA is where...
You scan, you go through, like, the
does your
scanner, yeah. and it, like, detects your genitals. And then, like, you go through and
they're,
like...
Because your ID is correct.
Yeah, but even, like, it's just so...
So then you scan and then someone's acting like, all right,
and then you have to explain and they're like, and they'll like laugh or they'll like make eyes at someone else.
Next episode of The Goody Goody. Patty Harrison says,
what the fuck was I doing?
And Sabrina says,
would I want to kiss Scott Wolf back in that time? Yeah, for sure.
Join us Thursday.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.